But as we've read these verses in John's Gospel chapter 3, you probably say, like many of us could easily say, well, this chapter is so well known, I can almost repeat it by heart. And the wonderful thing, you see, about the Word of God is that you can come time and time again to passages that you know well, and then something new seems to shine out, something fresh that perhaps you've never seen before. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God, which is inspired from cover to cover. All Scripture is given by God and is inspired and profitable. So I trust that none of us will, as it were, sit back and say, well, I know John's Gospel, chapter 3, so well. Particularly verse 16, of course, which we know so well. For God so loved the world. But as I've been reading through this chapter recently, it just seemed to my mind that there were certain lessons that perhaps we hadn't seen before. And may God bless them to us this evening. And if you want a heading, I'll give something like this. The marks of true saving faith. The marks of true saving faith. Or the evidence of the new birth. The new birth. Now there are many people today, even in our churches, we meet them from time to time, who would come up to you afterwards, the end of a service perhaps, and say something like this. Well, I'm glad to be here, I'm a born again Christian. And then they seem to move away. Well, thank God if they have been saved. But you know, dear friend, I think we need to go a little bit deeper with such dear friends. There are many, many, you might think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. There are many in our churches today who say, I'm a born-again believer, and off they go. But they don't seem to give the evidence that they are or have been born again. And that's the burden upon my heart tonight, beloved. I believe the Lord has given me this burden. I speak to my own heart. We who have known the Lord for many, many years, you can look back upon a date perhaps, a time, or a certain time in your life, when as you perhaps reflect, yes, I became a Christian. Yes, I was born again. But dear friend, the most important thing is this, surely. Is there any evidence that this man, this woman, this young person is a Christian? It's not just good enough to say, I'm born again. I'm a born again believer. Some people wear it on their shirt. We've seen it. I've seen it. The back of a t-shirt. I'm a born again believer. Dear friend, are they really? Do they really understand? And so these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to consider them. You must be born again. Now before we go into this evidence of the new birth, I think it would do us good, something I've never done before really, to consider seriously Nicodemus, this man, this ruler who came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, there are three things that we see about Nicodemus. First of all, in verse 2, his concern, his great concern. You say, where's that? Well, in these words. He came to Jesus by night. Now, there have been many sermons preached on this, and many commentators have tried to give lengthy illustrations. Why did he come at night? I don't know. People ask me that. They try to tangle you up, you see. Why did he come at night? Was he ashamed of the gospel? Was it a more convenient time for him because he's a busy man? We don't know. But this is what I always say. The most important thing is, he came. He came to Jesus. Whether it was daytime or nighttime. Whether it was in health or in sickness. Whether it was in sorrow or in joy. The most important thing, dear friend, to have this concern. Are you concerned for your soul to come and seek Jesus? Maybe in the night. That's when God spoke to me as a lad of 14 years of age. The middle of the night. Middle of the night, I wept because I knew I was not ready to meet God. I was terrified of dying without Christ. When have you come? If you've ever come. So I think, dear friend, it's a very simple thought, isn't it? But his concern, he was concerned enough to come even at night. Even at night. But then secondly, we see something of his confession in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. That was his confession. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. But you shall see later on how the Lord Jesus, in dealing with this man, moves him on from this confession to a deep heart work. In that great cry, you must be born again. You must be born again. So we've seen his concern. He was concerned enough to come to Jesus even in the middle of the night. We've seen something of his confession. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Thirdly, his confusion. His confusion. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here is his confusion. He doesn't understand the need, the necessity, the reality of the new birth. So he tries, perhaps, in a way, to tie the Lord Jesus up, as we say, in knots. His confusion. How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time? He was thinking just of one level. One level. Now it's interesting to see the way that the Saviour deals with this man. And here again is something I think that we need to all learn. You'll notice first of all that the Lord Jesus Christ goes right to the heart of the matter. This is a man who's very intellectual. This is a man who was a ruler of the Jews. He was held in honor and respect. In fact, when he walked down the streets, people would bow prostrate before him. He was well known, highly educated. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and he deals right to the very heart of the matter. What does he say? Except a man be born again. Born again. He doesn't say to Nicodemus, well, let's get together and have a philosophical argument, discussion about these things. He doesn't say to Nicodemus, you bring your thoughts in and I'll bring mine and perhaps we'll end up on the right level or teaching. I think this is important. It's how it came to me. The Saviour went straight to the heart of the matter. And so must we. In our evangelism and in our personal witness, people will always be ready to tie us up in knots. People will always be ready to bring confusion, argument. We need the wisdom of the Lord in bringing them right to the heart of the matter and unashamedly saying, you must be born again. I'm not concerned about your arguments. I'm not concerned about your confusion. This is the message. He goes right to the heart of the matter. But then, lastly, as we think of Nicodemus, it seems to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to spend time with this man. Isn't that important? Perhaps we're in a bit of a rush to try to evangelize. Perhaps we want to try very quickly say, well, this is it, you've got to trust in Jesus and he'll make you happy and he's the best friend you can have and, well, go off, just live as you like. No, you'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ spends time with Nicodemus. In fact, from verse 5 down to verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining what the new birth is all about. So we've seen very simply his concern. Are you concerned for the welfare of your never dying soul? Is the Holy Spirit going to work so wonderfully in your heart in this evening service to bring you to see your need? We're praying that you will be restless. We're praying that we have no sleep tonight until you find peace with God. Until you can honestly say, it is well with my soul. His confession, he was ready to bring 1,001 arguments. Perhaps you are. Perhaps you want to discuss and argue and bring in your thoughts. Dear friend, you come as you are. The sense of need. Teach me, Lord. Show me, Lord. His confusion. How can a man be born again? It doesn't make sense on human terms. And Jesus spends time with him in explaining the need of the new birth. Now the means which God uses to bring a soul to see its need is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The means that God uses. Thank God for preachers of the gospel. Thank those who were called out particularly to evangelism. But dear friend, we must never forget, and people are forgetting this, it's not up to the preacher. They come to us and say, you'll never convert me. No, we won't. It's the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus speaks of this. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whither it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I can't convert you. I can't alarm you tonight. Wish I could in a way. I wish I could make you tremble if you're not a Christian. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to do his own sovereign work. His compelling work. His drawing power. Like the wind. We've had wind recently. It came to my mind as I was in the study the other day and saw all the trees blowing. Tremendous gale. Branches coming down and so on. The wind. The power of the Spirit. Pray, dear friends, in this church, that those who come here may not be entertained, may not say, oh, what wonderful preachers they have at Witten Chapel, but that they begin to tremble and begin to know that God is here by the power of his Spirit, disturbing souls. You will leave convicted of sin, need of a Saviour. We have this borne out so clearly, we won't turn to it now for the sake of time, but in the prophecy of Ezekiel, you remember that vision the prophet had in Ezekiel chapter 37. This great valley full of dry bones. And the word was given and we read in Ezekiel 37. The bone came together with bone. And there is this figure standing. And you think, well, all is well. But one thing is missing. Breath. There's no life. There's no life. And you may have order. You may have ceremony. You may think you're a Christian because you occasionally come to chapel and occasionally read the Bible. There's no breath. There's no life. Until the wind came. The wind of the Spirit. Now in our thinking this evening, we again haven't time, but as we think of Nicodemus and his need of a Saviour, in your minds we should go back time and time again to references from the first epistle of John, which are so relevant. The marks of true saving faith, or the evidence of the new birth. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's a very stark warning, isn't it, from the Apostle John. If we say that we're born again, we have fellowship with him, but at the same time walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. May God search our hearts tonight. Terribly serious thing to lie to the Almighty God. Or 1 John 3:3, every man that has this hope in him, the hope of eternal life, born again, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. In other words, those who claim to be Christians, claim to be born again, something wonderful is taking place in their lives. Moment by moment, day by day, they're becoming cleaner and purer and more like Christ. See the evidence? You see, if people say to us, I'm a born-again believer, and they continually walk in darkness, and continually enjoy the things of this world, the muck and the filth, and they live just as they like, we rightly have to say, have they ever been born again? That's the challenge to all of us. Every man that has this hope, the living hope of eternal life, purifies himself, keeps on purifying himself. It's a continual work for all of us, particularly in these days when there's so much around us that can make us unclean in word, in thought, in deed, things that we watch, things that we read, and we claim to be born again. There has to be evidence. The first evidence, are just three things I want to share with you, there are many more, but it seems to me that we need to consider this, that the first evidence of a person who claims to be born again is that he and she will have a hate of sin. A hate of sin. Not playing with it. Not tampering with it. Not being amused. A hate of sin. Again, we go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And you say, well, that's a big statement. I sinned last week. I did something I shouldn't have done. Now, what it reads and what it means is this. John is saying there in 1 John 3, 6, whosoever abides in Christ does not willingly keep on sinning. Whosoever is born of God doth not keep on and on committing sin. We do sin. We do grieve the Holy Spirit. And we know it ourselves when we've done that. We feel ashamed. We feel stained. And we ask the Lord to forgive us again and to cleanse us again and to renew a right mind in us. But I say that the mark, one of the great marks of those who claim to be born again, is that they and we shall have a hate of sin. As one commentator puts it so clearly, everyone,